In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. These days in American pop theology, it's common to hear people make statements like, God is a God of love and mercy, not a God of judgment and wrath. And that's just as ridiculous of a statement as it would be to say that God is a God of judgment and wrath and not a God of love and mercy, because the scriptures affirm all of the above. In the life of St. Mary of Egypt, we see how this is true, and we also see how God brings a person who's under his wrath, who's separated from him by his love and mercy to him. We read the life of St. Mary of Egypt when we do the Great Canon on Wednesday evening of the fifth week of Lent. And the life is always striking, and it's always a life that reminds me about new things. And there's always a new insight that I get every time I read her life. But when St. Mary of Egypt was living a life of sin, God, by his providence, caused her to be curious enough to go travel to Jerusalem, to go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, because the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross was coming and lots of other people were going, and she was curious. She wasn't going because she had some pious motivation, she just wanted to see something different. And yet when she tried to enter into the church, she was prevented. She said that it was like there was an armed guard of soldiers that would prevent her. She would make a little bit of progress into the doorway, and then she would be pushed back, and she would find herself on the outside. And finally, after several attempts and becoming very tired, she went to a part of the porch that's in front of the Holy Sepulchre, and she looked up and she saw an icon of the Theotokos, and it began to dawn on her why she had been prevented from going into that church. And it was because of her sins. Now, if God was just a God of wrath and judgment, then God might have allowed her to enter into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and go on her married way and then just send her to hell at the end of her life. Or maybe God would have just struck her dead at some point. I mean, God didn't have to do any of those things, but because he was seeking her salvation, he gave her this opportunity to repent. He barred her from entry into the church to show her that there was something that was wrong. St. Paul, in his first epistle to the Corinthians, says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And of course, this list is not the exhaustive list of the people who won't inherit the kingdom of God, but he's just saying these are examples of people who, when they live that kind of a life, when they don't repent, when they don't turn away from these things, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And don't kid yourself, he's saying. Don't be deceived. And we have a lot of people who want us to be deceived these days about these very things. They want us to think that God is just such a loving, cuddly God that, of course, he wouldn't send anyone to hell. Why would he want to do that? Because the reason why they say that is because they're denying the truth that God is holy. God hates sin 100% all the time, and he will for all eternity. And sin and God can't abide together. You can't stand in God's presence and have these kinds of sins unrepented on your soul. It will not happen. If you die in a state of unrepentance, you will be judged and you will go to hell and you will spend eternity separated from God. That is the reality. That is the truth. And speaking the truth is important because God tells us what we need to do because he does love us. He wants us to repent. He wants us to come to him. In the case of St. Mary of Egypt, we had someone who had been living a life of gross immorality from the time that she was a teenager. But God loved her nevertheless. But God hated her sin, and God wanted her to repent. So the question is, how did Mary go from that point where she was separated from God to the point where she became one of the greatest saints that ever walked the face of this earth? How did that happen? We can't wash ourselves clean. We can't take away our own sins. We need God to do that for us. So how do we do that? How do we open up the doors and enter into the kingdom of heaven. First, as St. Mary did, we have to come to realization of where we are and of our sin. We have to repent of our sin. We have to confess our sins as she did. We're told by the Apostle John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise from God, and we know that it's true because God cannot lie. We also need God's guidance. Now, in the case of St. Mary of Egypt, she was illiterate, we're told, in her life, and so she wasn't able to read the scriptures, and God taught her directly, for the most part, by the grace of the Holy Spirit. But that's not something that we should assume is going to happen in our lives, where most of us can read, and we need to study the scriptures and allow the Holy Spirit to use the scriptures to speak to us, to read the writings of the saints, to read the lives of the saints, so that God can show us how it is that we need to live. And then what we have to do is we have to put God's word into practice. It's not enough to just simply know what it is. It's not enough to simply know that we're sinners and that we need God's forgiveness. We have to actually ask for that forgiveness, receive it, and then allow God's grace to cleanse us of those sins and to actually help us to stop falling back into those sins. We need to not only depart from the way of sin, but we need to have the way of sin taken from us by God's Holy Spirit. Many people wonder why they make no progress in the spiritual life, but they don't depart from the way of sin. They surround themselves by temptations. They continue to swim in the same moral sewers that they were swimming in before they repented, and they wonder why they're making no progress. Well, that's not what St. Mary of Egypt did. She separated herself. Now, obviously, not everyone needs to make the radical change that she made, but we do have to turn away from those sins, and then we have to allow God to take that way of sin from us. Our hearts have to be changed, and that doesn't happen overnight. God gradually heals the soul of those that repent. And we see in her life that she struggled for many years with sin. We also have to persevere, because this is not an easy thing. We can't give up when we stumble. We can't give up when we fall into temptation. If we continue on, if we continue to walk in that path, if we continue to work and to allow God's grace to change us, we will be saved. Christ said in the Gospels, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." St. Mary of Egypt continued that struggle, and she became a great saint. And one of the messages of her life is that no matter how far away from God you may be, God can take you and he can make you into a saint, because when you look at St. Mary, she was about as far away from God as one can get. Maybe there's some examples of people who were further away, but I mean, that's a pretty stark example of someone who had lived such a life of gross immorality but came to be truly a great saint. So let us turn away from our sins. Let us allow God to take that way of sin from us. Persevere. Recognize that we need his grace and trust in him for his grace and mercy. Amen.